I'm sure many of you have seen the Autism Speaks commercial that states, the odds of a child being in a Broadway show, 1 in 11,000. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 166. Why are the statistics of autism important to the general public? And what is autism? Knowing the answers to these questions might make that commercial a little more meaningful. Autism is a disorder that causes poor social skills, poor communication skills, and repetitive behaviors. It is diagnosed during the first 3 years of a child's life and varies immensely from child to child. Some children may show the symptoms of autism as plain as day, while others may be more difficult to see. This is why it is often referred to as autism spectrum disorder, or ASD. There are four other disorders that fall into the autism spectrum, but today we will only talk about autism. In order to be diagnosed, a person must meet six or more diagnosis criteria in the three areas mentioned earlier. At least two criteria must be under social, one under communication, and one under repetitive behaviors. When I say there are problems in socialization, I do not mean having few friends or just being shy. This social impairment includes minor skills that many of us often take for granted. Children with autism have a very difficult time making and keeping eye contact, using facial expressions, and displaying proper body gestures or gestures during communication. Their relationships with other children are often distant and not age-appropriate. For example, you might see a child with autism playing next to other children rather than with other children. Again, it varies from one case to the next. It is often difficult for a child with autism to show excitement over achievement and interests. For example, after climbing the monkey bars for the first time, a typical 6-year-old might call out to a parent, I did it, come watch me. A child with autism would be less likely to do this. Problems with communication can range from not being able to speak at all to being able to speak very well. However, communication requires much more than being able to speak words. A child with autism who does speak struggles with nonverbal communication. If you were to sit down and try to have a conversation with someone who has autism, you may notice that no matter what you say, they will continue to talk about what they are interested in, with little or no regard to what you are saying. While this may seem rude or self-indulging, it is not intentional. These conversation skills, such as the give and take of information, initiating conversation, and reading others' voice tones, do not come naturally to those with autism. You may also see behaviors such as echolalia, which is repeating what others say, and play that lacks imagination. The last category for diagnosis is referred to by the DSM-IV as, quote, restricted interests and repetitive stereotypical behaviors, end quote. These are the behaviors that many people tend to associate with autism and are often seen in movies and on TV. Children with autism are resistant to any change in routine or ritual. For example, let's say the typical routine in a first grade classroom is to go to music class right after math lesson. But during 1 week, the music class and library time are swapped due to other events in the building. A child with autism will be reluctant to make the change and insist on going to music class after math lesson rather than to the library. Some other stereotypical behaviors that may be seen are hand flapping, finger flapping, complex body movements, opening and closing doors, lining up objects in specific ways, and rocking their bodies. It is important to remember that while all of these behaviors are diagnostic criteria for autism, they are not universal. One child may exhibit completely different behaviors than another child. Because of this, the definition of autism is broad and varies from one organization to the next. Having such a broad definition with many variations can cause problems. Melvin Lewis discusses how the statistics of autism have increased in recent years. While the increase may be due to the fact that more children really do have autism, there are other factors that most likely contribute. Lewis believes that the main reason is the broad definition. However, another reason is that more people are becoming aware of autism and its symptoms because organizations are putting the information out there through ways such as the advertisement I mentioned earlier. The more people are aware of autism and its symptoms, the more it will be diagnosed. So now that you are aware of the symptoms, diagnosis criteria, and statistics of autism, what should be done after diagnosis? There are many types of treatment options for children with autism. This area is just as broad and non-universal as the diagnostic criteria. Certain treatments may work for one child, but not for another. Lewis lists the following options for treatment: medication, somatic treatments, such as shock therapy, behavior modifications, educational interventions, psychotherapy, and dietary changes. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, changes in diet have only shown to work for some children, and medical treatments are used for symptoms that are seen in other disorders. These symptoms include anxiety and depression, behavior problems, seizures, inattention, and hyperactivity. Because many of the medications used to treat these symptoms have not been approved by the FDA for children, there is still a lot of controversy over such treatments. Although all of these treatments are an option and have shown to work in some cases, educational intervention has proven to be the most successful intervention for children with autism. In an educational setting, a child with autism will be placed on an individual education plan, or IEP. An IEP is a legal document that a team of school specialists and educators write defining the student's level of performance, the specific goals for the academic year, the services that will be provided, and the least restrictive environment for that student. The National Institute of Mental Health states that school intervention should, quote, build on the child's interests, offer a predictable schedule, teach tasks as a series of simple steps, actively engage in the child's attention, in highly structured activities, and provide regular reinforcement of behavior, end quote. So now that you've received a brief overview of autism, you are better able to understand the advertisements I discussed at the beginning. While the rate of autism has increased considerably over the years, treatment options are still being researched and are often controversial. However, no matter what treatment option parents choose, intervention should begin very early. Parents and professionals should also keep in mind that treatment success varies in each case, and that it may take many attempts before finding one that works. The information that you heard today has been gathered from the following sources: the American Psychiatric Association 2000 Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders 4th Edition, by Autism Reaching for a Brighter Future, Service Guidelines for Individuals with Autism Spectrum Disorder and Pervasive Developmental Disorder, by Melvin Lewis, 2002, Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, a Comprehensive Textbook, by the National Institute of Mental Health, 2008, Autism Treatment Options, and the National Institute of Mental Health, 2008, Autism, What Are the Autism Spectrum Disorders?